April 7, 2013, compiled by Dave Humphrey from the archived newspapers held at the Cranbrook History Center and Archives. 1917. Awarded to Cranbrook Lady. Mrs. Leslie has received from the National Chapter of the IODEA, War Clasp. This is the recognition of the order awarded to women with son or husband in the war and to service of the Empire in the work of the order. The Secretary writes, "The provincial chapter is proud to take the privilege in connection with the regents of such chapters as come under its jurisdiction, when the opportunity presents itself, and feels that it may associate itself with those members of the Kuskanuk chapter in thus honoring its chief officer." Wycliffe Fire. Shortly after the noon hour on Monday, fire was discovered in the machine shop of the Otis Staples Lumber Company, and for a short time the surrounding buildings and lumber yard were in considerable danger, but due to the prompt action and four streams of water at the splendid pressure of 140 pounds each, the fire was quickly subdued. It started from a hot box on the fan. About $600 damage was caused to buildings and machinery, fully covered by insurance. Court news. Fred Morin from Spokane was arrested Friday night for behaving in a disorderly manner and using insulting language to ladies on Baker Street. The chief in prosecuting said that this was the first case of a like nature to come to his notice in Cranbrook, and he regarded it as a serious offense and asked that the accused be made an example of. After hearing the evidence, Judge Arnold severely lectured Morin and told him that he could send him to prison for 6 months. However, as this was his first offense, he was fined $25 or 60 days. He paid the fine. On Monday night, Constable Johns, while making his patrol, discovered two men cashing away butter and beer which they had stolen from the CPR freight cars. Constable Johns placed the men under arrest, but they offered resistance and a stiff fight ensued. The two men eventually made their escape in the dark, but the constable obtained possession of the stolen goods. These two men are known to the police and the dragnet is out. Hope is expressed by the chief that they will be captured before long. Both these men have just completed a term at the city jail. Many summonses will soon be issued if the owners of dogs do not apply for their dog tax. Stolen property to the value of $91 was recovered and restored to the owners by the police during last month. 339 meals were served to prisoners at the city jail in March. Wassa News. Mr. Emery of Sheep Creek met with a bad accident at his ranch. When he went into the stable to milk his cow, the cow kicked him, breaking his leg. Dr. Green was sent for and ordered Mr. Emery to the St. Eugene Hospital. John O'Reilly was arrested on Saturday last and conveyed to the lockup and was brought before R. Hewitt, S.M., on Monday and charged with entering the house of A.J. Jewell at Baines and stealing a watch, safety razor, boots, revolver, money and a bottle of whiskey. He was committed for trial. Novel demonstration. The Fink Mercantile Company have placed in front of their store on the sidewalk a Congolian rug. It has stood rain, snow and sun, and perhaps 500 people have walked over it, including lumbermen with cocked shoes, yet it shows no bad effects. Petty thefts. Stealing from unoccupied houses does not seem to trouble the conscience of some respectable people. One day last week, from a house on Burwell Avenue, a wash basin was removed, the next night the bath. We were surprised to find the veranda there the following morning. Petition circulated. A petition is being circulated through the city by the Social Service Council of Canada, relative to the raising of the age of consent and certain other urgent reforms to the Criminal Code of Canada. The petition is being handled locally by the Women's Institute, Nonpartisan League, Social Service Council and the churches. A new departure. We are planning a regular monthly supplement, devoted to the problems of women in politics. It will provide an open field for the discussion of the women's problems from all points of view. Information regarding the activities of the feminist voter in other provinces and countries is being obtained. We hope to present articles by the leading women workers in Canada and other points of the Empire. Communications, ideas and advice from Herald readers are invited. News from the front. Dear brother, I am much obliged for your interesting letter received last week and awful glad to hear the news from home. It was sad news for me to hear of Frank McLagan's death, He was looking over the trench into no man's land, when a bullet from the German line struck him in the head. I went past the place where he is buried yesterday, but did not get time to go in and see his grave. It's too bad, he was a smart, intelligent man. Jack Taylor is in the Army Service Corps attached to the 2nd Division and was talking to Bertie Bell yesterday. He says he saw Jack and he is looking fine and was talking to Roy Hussack the other day. He is looking good. Eddie Walsh, Stanley Stewart, Alex Sutherland and Gordon Cameron are working just a few miles from here with a Pioneer Battalion. Jack McDonald is with them yet. I have not seen anything of Jack Smith since I left Belgium, but I guess he is still alive. Johnny Kelly and Billy Ross have been wounded and gone to Blighty. I am always fortunate enough to get the job of going into no man's land, looking for Germans or to see if they are out listening to what is going on. I had a nice long letter from May Gilbert but have not answered it yet. We had a month and a half of real winter here, zero weather the most of the time. The muddy weather has set in again and I guess it will stay that way. I suppose you hear a lot of peace talk, but until Germany is brought to her knees, and that's one thing the Allies are in shape to do, of course there will be a big sacrifice of life. The biggest battle the world has ever known is yet to come and then the Germans will collapse. Well, I think I had better close with kind regards to everyone at home, hoping to see you all again when victory is ours, from George Crow. Letter to Editor. Dear Sir, may I have a little talking space? I'm not going to be complimentary, so maybe you won't find me the room. Still, I'll take chances, and if you print me, the credit is yours and the blush mine. I've been wondering what on earth's the matter with the Cranbrook Herald. I've been wondering why it is not a force, an excitement, a live wire, an education, a genuine herald of all good news. I've been wondering why it isn't, is it? You don't have to hold on to the sidewalk when you read it. Your hat doesn't blow off or your heart doesn't pump. Nothing happens. Now, sir, in all abasement, I suggest something ought to happen. Why, these are the most happening times the old world ever saw, and the dear sleepy old Herald gives us a weekly snore. What's wrong? Shall I tell you? Someone is afraid of someone, and everybody is afraid of everybody, and in trying to avoid giving any offense, you give no one any pleasure. That's right, isn't it? I won't write anymore in case you get angry. Yours faithfully, W.H. Bridge. The condition of our streets. With real genuine spring at hand, it is time for all good citizens to commence cleaning up and to beautify our city as much as possible with clean yards, tidy gardens and neat boulevards. The large majority of our property holders can be depended on for their share of duty, but what about our streets and avenues? Their almost perpetual summer condition of either mud or dust does not reflect credit on the civic fathers and is disheartening to the residents of the city, and yet considerable work and money has been expended every year, with little or no permanent results. We suggest that the policy of plowing and leveling the city roads has not been demonstrated as either beneficial or economical. A graded street by these methods looks very nice for a few days, but what appeals to us as more necessary is the abolishment of mud and dust, and to eradicate these evils we believe there is only one available remedy to fit our civic purse, and that is gravel. The cost of hauling and the purchase of gravel would possibly be greater, but the work done would at least have some degree of permanency. Fort Steele News. Mr. John Walsh, a naval recruit of HMS Rainbow, arrived in the city Sunday on his way to Fort Steele. Sailor Jack is a son of Constable Yosh Walsh of the Pioneer Town, and is off on a short furlough which will be spent visiting friends and relatives in this neck of the woods. Christchurch. The Ladies Guild of Christchurch gave a very successful whist drive and dance on Wednesday evening. The prize winners at the cards were, ladies, Mrs. Hogarth, gentlemen, Master Harold Haslam. Dancing commenced at 10 and was continued until 2, the Cranbrook Orchestra supplying the music. The services on Good Friday and Easter Day at Christchurch were very well attended. The music was rendered with vigor. The choir exhibited good tone and expression and showed no tendency to drag or shout. There is urgent need of more bass and tenor voices. Knox Church News. The Knox Church Ladies' Aid Easter Sale, held last Saturday afternoon, was a great success. Upon entering the building, the eye rested on the artistic decorations, the soft blending of colors, and the tea tables with beautiful Easter lilies. The fancy work and children's wear stands were decorated in maize and white, the apron and home cooking in purple and white, and the candy in mauve and maize. The society realized the handsome sum of $173. Kingsgate News. Through the kindness of Mr. and Mrs. Cooper, of Sinclair, a dance was given in the International Hotel last Saturday evening. Mr. Leahy delighted those present with the singing of A Perfect Day. Truly, his was a hidden talent up to his first appearance in public, and we hope to hear Mr. Leahy's truly rich and resonant voice very often. Mr. DeWolf of Cranbrook entertained the audience by cleverly executing the buck and wing dance. Red Cross Dance. It is hoped that our always welcomed Cranbrook friends will attend the Red Cross Dance on the 18th inst. The roads are getting better every day for cars. The Cranbrook Orchestra will be in attendance. This in itself is no small attraction, as has been proved. Supper will be served in the Masonic Hall at midnight at a charge of 15 cents. 2 for 25 cents, time and place. 9 o'clock, at the Fort Steele Band Hall.